coming up.
Apple calls it the future of television, but is it? An in-depth review of the brand new Apple TV coming up on the Tech News Briefing.
Stay plugged in and cut through the static. This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos. Apple's new set-top box has arrived, and many say it's a vast improvement. In fact, Apple bills it as the future of television. There, of course, are a bunch of new features, a new remote, new apps, and our own personal tech columnist, Jeffrey Fowler, is here to tell us all about it. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, it's my understanding that the new Apple TV is kind of like a big iPhone. Am I correct?
Sort of. I think that's actually the best metaphor and the best thing about this product. So this is the fourth time around for Apple making hardware that's supposed to make our TVs smart. But I think what they got right this time is they actually made it in many ways like the iPhone. So two things I think in particular make it like an iPhone. One, it finally has an app store, and it's a pretty good one, and I think it's going to get a lot better. And it's filled both with streaming services, you know, get your HBO, get your Hulu, you name it, but then also interactive apps, games, home shopping network where you watch the stream and can buy it live as you're seeing it. And I think there's huge potential in that.
So if this is a big screen iPhone, essentially, you obviously can't use your thumbs, so the remote comes into play. What is that experience like?
Until now, the remote controls have been, frankly, kind of terrible. I've seen them all in my job as a tech columnist here. I've seen the ones with like 51 different buttons on them. I've seen the ones you wave around in the air like a magic wand. And then even the sort of the most popular style, and the old Apple TV had this, and the Roku 4 still has it, is this kind of series of arrows point up, down, sideways, and click, 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 click to get through it. The new Apple TV kind of does away with that. Instead, they've got a glass trackpad on the end of the remote control that you just kind of move around with your thumb, and it feels like kind of like you're using an iPhone. So it's not that you're looking down at the remote and seeing the screen. Rather, you're moving your thumb, and when you move it, you feel like what's happening on your thumb is also happening on the screen. The other thing that they've built into that is they put sensors into the remote control so it works a little bit like the old Wii remote. Yes, remember that? You can wave around, it's got gyroscopes and whatnot in it, and you can figure out, you know, you can play games and kind of interact directly with it that way.
Now, what was kind of cool to me is the fact that they put Siri into this remote control. How does that translate on a TV?
Now, Apple is not the first company to put voice into a TV box. In fact, they're kind of following Amazon and Roku and some others with that. However, they made it work really well, or at least better than any of the others at this point where we are with voice technology. Mm-hmm. You press the button, you can ask Siri to pull up a specific show or a genre of shows, but you can even sort of follow up with context. So you can say, show me movies from the 80s, and then follow up with just the ones with Tom Cruise.
Wow, fancy.
Yeah.
How does the concept of apps work on a big screen as well? Is that something that, you know, it's sort of replacing channels, right? How did they make that work? Or did they, I should say?
Actually, that's kind of the greatest thing that this thing has going for it is that you've got this system now that's finally easy to interact with the television, and it's a powerful enough box to kind of run real apps. One of my favorite examples is actually this workout app for the Apple TV that basically it's like one of those, you know, workout shows where you watch someone on the screen and they bark instructions at you.
Right.
But with this, those instructions are customized to you because it's an app and it knows who you are and what you're wanting to do. And then it also taps into, if you have an Apple Watch, it taps into what your heart rate is, so the app knows whether or not you're working very hard or how hard you're working. And that's the kind of thing that becomes the potential now that our TVs can be, you know, really computers.
It certainly sounds like a very new age, high tech TV watching next level experience, shall we say. But is there anything that missed the mark and can be improved upon?
Yeah, there's a number of, you know, smaller things that they could improve on. I would say, though, the big thing that's missing, and it's the Achilles heel of any streaming box or smart TV, and it's content. There's still a limited subset of the world of content that you can get from a traditional 800-channel cable TV subscription that's going to be available on this box or on any of these boxes. That's because Hollywood has really yet to be convinced that there is a business model for some of this content, sports in particular, some kind of premium TV shows. You can still really only get with a cable TV subscription. What's interesting to watch now for over the next year or so is whether Apple, using this platform and using its influence in Hollywood, can start to change people's minds. And here's the reason why I think they're going to succeed at that. Because instead of trying to just think about streaming as a way to save money on by cutting cable, I think they can now make the argument that it's actually the most premium experience you could have with content. And I think the brightest people in Hollywood are going to want to be on that platform, right? Imagine what maybe the next kind of Game of Thrones might be like if it was Choose Your Own Adventure and you could choose who gets beheaded today.
Right.
And I think there's going to be a ton of potential in that, and I think that the creators and producers in Hollywood are going to want to follow that. And so it's not really necessarily going to be just about cutting by saving people money, but just by making a cooler experience.
Does sound very cool. Jeffrey Fowler, thank you so much for the time today.
You bet.
And you can pick up a 32-gigabyte model for $149 or pay an extra $50 to get twice the storage space. And that'll do it for your tech news briefing. Remember to check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. For the Wall Street Journal's tech news briefing, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.